Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please. Press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, party trying to ban teaching the history of slavery. Republicans argue against teaching critical race theory, or the 1619 Project in academia, and say they are not against teaching the history of slavery. First, the history of slavery is one of the pillars of American history. It made the colonists and the United States of America powerful. Black people who have historically suffered under the tyranny of white supremacy, slavery in the Americas and abroad have a responsibility to hand down, teach, inform, educate their generations about their history. Slavery is not the pillar of the black man's existence. It is simply a stumbling block on the road of life. If it was left out of the current mainstream educational literature, it was no accident. It does not have to be left out or forgotten by the generations of black people. Black people should not depend, rely, wait for the ancestors of their enslavers to reveal the truth they obviously attempted to conceal from history. Black people, and apparently white people. Not many people are willing to admit to perpetrating heinous crimes against humanity while professing to be under God. Some have used scripture to validate their crimes of kidnapping, genocide, murder, rape, torture, forced labor, exploitation, and deprivation. To omit the truth is to lie by omission. To teach a lie is to miseducate or facilitate, perpetuate, and promote ignorance. Race is not a biological designation and is a relatively new term created to validate the enslavement and inhumane treatment of the black man in the 1500s. It is as much a lie as the soft shoe interpretation of the inhumane treatment of black people, men, women, and children globally, that they endure globally. If the cruelty and horrors of slavery and so-called post-slavery were actually taught in school, it would shine the light of shame on the forefathers of this country and their ancestors. The fact that it hasn't been commonly transmitted is no accident. I find it ironic that it is well known that race is a fictitious term. It remains on many documents as a designation and in the minds of people of the world. Men never belonged to a race until Europeans said so in the 1500s. The presence of this term is just another product of the power of white supremacy. Republicans say they are not against teaching or attempting to prohibit an educational curriculum on the topic of slavery. That is like verification that true documentation of slavery has been omitted from history, at least the educational curriculum. Maybe the do as I say, not as I do attitude of the historical United States of America and the focusing on more aggressive ethnic antagonistic countries like Germany and Japan drew attention away from her crimes. What would we think of a country that fought for freedom, equality, and human rights abroad while perpetrating the very crimes they fought to eradicate abroad at home? Maybe no one cared as long as They were not trying to take over the world. Some argue against teaching critical race theory or the 1619 Project in academia. Academia that is not broad, inclusive, and is controlled is indoctrination. Is the United States a fascist nation? Webster's Dictionary says fascism is a political philosophy, movement, or regime that exalts nation and often race above the individual, and that stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader. Severe economic and social regimentation and forcible suppression of opposition. Y'all need to pay attention to that when dealing with politics in this country, unless you're in favor of that type of regime. Still, critical race theory hardly describes the horrors that black people are subject to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for centuries. Yet, someone in high places doesn't want critical race theory taught as a part of the curriculum in academia. Critical thinking is simply a method of looking at, analyzing information with objectivity and coming to a rational conclusion. It's like following crumbs to wherever they lead, analyzing how the crumbs got there in the first place. We call it simply using your brain. From the Critical Thinking Academy, maybe we see critical thinking as applied common sense. Critical thinking may also be defined as a process of making clear, reasoned judgments about any claim, issue, or solution to a problem. Some also define it as the process of determining whether a claim is true or false. There are more complex definitions, such as critical thinking is skilled and active participation and evaluation of observations and communications, information, and argumentation. That's from Fisher and Shriven. So the theory of critical thinking is simply a method of looking at analyzing information with objectivity and coming to a rational conclusion, right? It's like following the breadcrumbs wherever they lead. Right? Analyzing how the crumbs got there in the first place. The Oxford Dictionary says theory is a supposition or a system of ideas intended to explain something, especially one based on general principles independent of the thing to be explained. Dictionary says theory is a coherent group of tested general propositions commonly regarded as correct that can be used as principles of explanation and prediction for a class of phenomena. For instance, Einstein's theory of relativity. So this whole thing about theory and critical thinking is not new. That's something that people do if you're thinking. If you're using your mind, you're doing critical thinking. And you're developing theories about phenomena, things that you see that you experience through your senses. I say it's safe to say the Republican Party is no stranger to critical thinking, race, or theory. So what the hell is critical race theory, and why are Republicans so against it being taught in the educational curriculum? From Britannica, at the Encyclopedia People, Critical race theory, CTR they call it, is an intellectual movement and loosely organized framework of legal analysis based on the premise that race is not a natural, biological, grounded feature of physically distinct groups of human beings, but a socially constructed, culturally invented category that is used to oppress and exploit people of color, non-white people, right? Critical race theorists hold that the law and legal institutions in the United States are inherently racist insofar as they function to create and maintain social, economic, and political inequalities between whites and non-whites, especially African Americans. So that's very, very important right there. That is very important to that's very, very important. Who would have a problem with that? Well, there is that old thing about how the United States of America was founded on racism, maintained by racism, and perpetuated by racism. Somebody might have a problem with that. Some may argue that can't be possibly. That can't possibly be true. There are black people and people of color in high places, city councils, mayoral positions, in the both houses, right? Judges, law enforcement, and Obama was a black president. Systemic racism is a relic of the past. We have arrived. Is it? I don't think so. Britannica goes on to say, critical race theory was originally organized in 1989 at the first annual workshop on critical race theory. Through its intellectual origins, though its intellectual origins go back farther to the 1960s and 70s, its immediate precursor was the Critical Legal Studies, CLS movement, which dedicated itself to examining how the law and legal institutions serve the interests of the wealthy and the powerful at the expense of the poor and marginalized. CLS, an offshoot of Marxist-orientated critical theory, may also be viewed as a radicalization of the early 20th century legal realism, a school of legal philosophy according to which judicial decision-making, especially at the appellate level, is influenced as much by non-legal, political, or ideological factors as by precedent and principles of legal reasoning. That's why you see all this funny stuff going on in court. Like CLS scholars, the critical race theorists believe that political liberalism was incapable of adequately addressing fundamental problems of justice in American society, notwithstanding legislation and court rulings advancing civil rights in the 1950s and 60s, because its emphasis on equitable treatment under the law for all races, so-called colorblindness, rendered it capable of recognizing only the most overt and obvious racist practices. Not that those that were relatively indirect, subtle, or systemic. Liberalism was also faulted for mistakenly presupposing the apolitical nature of judicial decision-making and for taking a self-consciously incremental or reformist approach that prolonged unjust social arrangements and afforded opportunities for retrenchment and backsliding through administration delays and conservative legal challenges. Mm. And that's happening right now. Unlike most of CLS scholars, however, critical race theorists did not wish to abandon the notion of law or legal rights altogether, because in their experience, some laws and legal reforms had done much to help oppressed or exploited people. In their work, Critical Race Theory, An Introduction, first published in 2001, legal scholars Richard Delgado, one of the founders of CRT, and Jean Stefancic discussed several general propositions, right? All right, so some of the propositions of the critical on race theorists. Race is socially constructed, not biologically natural. Okay. I think some of us know that, right? It's man-made, made by man, by men who were enslaving the black man in America, in the Americas. That is suspicious right there, right? Second, racism in the United States is normal, not departing from it, an accepted standard of what is normal. It is the common, ordinary experience of most people of color. Okay, so that's not rare. Racism is not rare in America, right? In the United States of America, right? Because, you know, America, we got North, South, you know, America, stuff like that. We got all that, but we're talking about the United States, right? Owing to what critical race theorists call interest convergence and material determinism, legal advances or setbacks for people of color tend to serve the interests of dominant white groups. Thus, racial hierarchy, right? The racial hierarchy, right? That's the who's on top, who's on the bottom, right? Characterizes American society may be unaffected or even reinforced by ostensible. Ostensible means stated or apparent to be true, but not necessarily so. You got to pay attention to that process right there. There's a lot of that going on, right? Improvements, right? So it says that thus the racial hierarchy that categorizes American society may be unaffected or even reinforced by ostensible improvements in legal status of oppressed or exploited people. So we have this improvement, stated improvement that is stated or apparent to be true, but not necessarily so, right? Members of minority groups are periodically undergo differential racialization or the attribution to them of varying sets of negative stereotypes, right? They attribute negative behaviors to minority groups, non-whites. Again, depending on the needs and interests of the whites, they say. So this is that's what makes it systemic, because this is something that's well thought of. According to the thesis of intersectionality, the interconnected nature of social categories, right? Or anti-essentialism doesn't presume that there is an essence to anything, any intrinsic qualities that we all can agree on, right? So we, you know, no individual can be adequately identified by membership in a single group. An African American person, for example, may also be identified as a woman, a lesbian, a feminist, a Christian, and so on, right? So we all wear many hats, right? And belong to different so-called social groups, right? They say the voice of color. Thesis holds that people of color are uniquely qualified to speak on behalf of other members of their group or groups regarding the forms and effects of racism. This consensus was held to the growth of the legal storytelling. movement, which argues that the self-expressed views of victims of racism and other forms of oppression provide essential insight into the nature of the legal system. That's from the horse's mouth, we call that, right? Wow. So, in and outside of academia, critical theory seems applicable. Seems the whole idea and concept of slavery is a part of someone's delusional critical thinking or theory, but for the most part, critical race theory touches on the thinking of the monsters who facilitated the realities and horrors of slavery. If they are going to discuss the history of slavery, they must discuss the horrors of slavery and the origin of the people that were enslaved. What about their contributions to civilization? Will that be part of the lesson plan? I don't see what the fuss is all about. Truth be told, the Constitution was not written with black folk in mind. Black folk were considered property for the most part. Don't let that Crispus Attucks, a black man of African descent, being the first person killed in the 1770 Boston Massacre fool you. It is ironic that the black man was the first killed. It appears Bostonians, from Wikipedia, it appears that the Bostonians viewed him as being of mixed ethnicity, according to the Pennsylvania Gazette. He was a mulatto man. Latin, mula, is Latin for mule. Mule is an offspring of a donkey and a horse, a mixed breed. That's what mule is. They call him a mulatto man. Greek, hemionos, means mule, literally. Half a half ass. That is mighty white of the Bostonians to correlate and assign Attucks' origin as the origin of a beast of burden. That is exactly what people of African descent were treated like in the new colonies and the Americas. He died for people who disrespected and diminished him by referring to him to be likened to a half-assed offspring of two animals. Mind you, half-ass itself is referred to a person who does not do something correctly or completely. So he is both less than a man and incapable of completing a man's job. Attucks' appearance of being equal to whites is ostensible, as we just talked about, is ostensible, O-S-T-E-N-S-I-B-L-E. It is stated and appearing to be true, right? He's out there with them, right? Nobody's lynching him or telling him to pick this trash up or plant this field or nothing like that. He's out there with white folks protesting against the English rule. So it is stated and appearing to be true, but not necessarily so. That sounds like a familiar theme today. Will they be covering that train of thought? The ostensible train of thought, something that are stated or appearing to be true, but is not necessarily so. Will they be covering that? It's going to take a little critical thinking, or race thinking, to bring that out. I know true educators will cover that. There is a saying. I think it's in the Bible. I don't know what passage it is. I'm not going to. It says, so as a man think, so is he. So critical race theory provides an analytic insight into the psychopathology of these madmen who saw it fit to violate a group of people for their benefit and entertainment. So you think something, you got to think it before you do it. People ain't just walking around just all of a sudden falling into a situation. You fall into a hole. Not enslaving people. Not raping people. It's not an error. As you can see, it's a well thought out process. From Britannica, race as a categorizing term referring to human beings was first used in the English language in the late 16th century. Right? So they want to teach this thing about slavery in the schools. I wonder where that idea even came up from and why it's coming up now. This is a thing that occurred since George Floyd. You know, it's George Floyd. It's one in centuries of cruelty and murder that occurred in this country. He's one of many, 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 many. And I'm not against black history or slavery being taught in this country, but damn, if they taught American history, slavery had to be right in the interwoven with the teaching of American history. Can't have one without the other. So now these guys want to teach about slavery, so because they whitewashed and try to soften it up. And I guess we had Roots to give you a depiction of slavery, which is it's a lot worse than what you've seen on Roots. And the brothers and sisters on a plantation were a lot braver, a lot smarter than some of the people you see on Roots too. You know, and unafraid of their white captors. They were very smart and skilled people. Anyway, I'm curious about what the what type of slavery they're gonna teach. I haven't got wind of that curriculum. But man, I'm curious about that. Okay, now from the National Museum of African American History and Culture, this article about historical foundations of race. They said the term race was used infrequently before the 1500s, was used to identify groups of people with kinship or group connection. The modern day use of the term race is a human invention. Now I read somewhere where race had nothing to do with a group of people. It had something to do with racing water, how water flowed, a horse race, and things like that. That's how that word was originally used. I think I covered that in something. Anyway, that's why I've been, it was never applied to people. It was applied to horses, animals, and running water and things like that. Anyway, they said the world got along without race for the overwhelming majority of its history. The U.S. has never been without it. Right? From David Rodinger, race is a human invented short-term used to describe and categorize people into various social groups based on characteristics like skin color, physical features, genetic heredity, race, while not a valid biological concept. It's a real social construction that gives or denies benefits and privileges. American society developed the notion of race early in its formation to justify its new economic system of capitalism, which depended on the institution of forced labor, especially the enslavement of African peoples. So, sounds like that was written in reverse. American society developed its notion of race early and its formation to justify its enslavement of African peoples and its new economic system of capitalism, which depended upon the forced labor. That's the way I wrote that paragraph. To more accurately understand how race and its counterpart, racism, are woven into the fabric of American society, we must explore the history of how race, white privilege, and anti-blackness came to be. The invention of race, they say, the concept of race, as we understand it today, involved alongside the formation of the United States and was deeply connected to the evolution of two terms, white and slave. The two words, race, white, and slave, were all used by Europeans in the 1500s. And they brought these words with them to North America. However, the words did not have the meaning they have today. Instead, the needs of the developing American society would transform these words' meaning into new ideas. Over the centuries, the false notion that white people were born smarter, more capable, and more human than non-white people became acceptable and worldwide. Ain't that something? The categorization of people became a justification for European colonization and subsequent enslavement of people from Africa. So this category, now he's saying, getting to the meat of it. So from provocative thought, colonization is the systemic theft of land, resources, government, culture, identity, exploitation, extermination, /genocide, murdering, and enslavement of people in their own lands. That's from the poet Noor. For centuries, Europeans indoctrinate their own people. They indoctrinated their own people. Baptizing and poisoning them with the false notion that they are more human than non-white people. That's important right there. That's important because it impacts on how the life of non-white peoples is valued, if valued at all, right? It explains why or how white people can become violently aggressive towards non-white people for the least reason or no reason at all. Some of that violence was captured in photographs of town lynchings where black men were beaten, dismembered, burnt, and hanged in front of men, women, and children. That is evidence a black man's life isn't valued at all. That thinking, feeling, and attitude still exists today. These people actually murder, not just kill them, they torture them, dismember them, and had no fear no fear being held accountable. Took pictures alongside the body. Children right there. Women and children there like it's, they had them on a picnic. And it's once described as, that's where the word picnic originated from. Pick a nick, a nigger. So so if you're gonna just feed your own people this idea that black people are less, not even, or, man. And maybe that's the problem. And you can't legislate that. You're not going to legislate that away. You can legislate behavior, but you're not going to legislate within a man's heart, and which means that you're just going to have people like we have today killing people for whatever reason they choose to do so. My feelings is hurt. You disrespected me. You don't want to be with me. You're in my neighborhood. You don't look like me. Whatever. But it seems like this thing is hard-pressed to go away. It's going to take a lot of, I guess it's hundreds of years of indoctrination and reinforcement. So it's going to take hundreds of years for it to go away. It's not going to go away because they created a law, as black people have experienced in this country. They created laws, and they still had to create more laws. They had to, you know, just to get black people things that they were supposed to be do based on the Constitution and them being so-called citizens of this country. So it says slavery as a concept, back to the National Museum of African American History. It says slavery as a concept has existed for centuries. Enslaved people, slaves, were forced to labor for another. But, like I said, we can point to the use of the term slave in Hebrew in the Bible, ancient societies such as Greece, Rome, and Egypt, as well as during the eras of time with the Mediterranean and European religions. Before the 16th century, enslavement was acceptable for persons considered heathens outside of the Christian-based faith. Go figure. In this world, being a slave was not for life, or you didn't inherit it, meaning the status of a slave did not automatically transfer to the parent, from parent to child. In many cultures, slaves were still able to earn small wages, gather with others, marry, and potentially buy their freedom. Similarly, peoples of darker skin, such as people from African descent, were not automatically enslaved, considered slaves. Because, you know, in America, they took free men, captured them, and enslaved them. They had a show about that, 12 Years a Slave. I think that's supposed to be a true story about a man who was kidnapped and forced into slavery in the South. Kidnapped from the North, forced into slavery in the South. I'm sure he wasn't the only one. His skin color automatically made him what they made him. So the word white held a different meaning too. Check this out. And transform over time. Behold, before the mid-1600s, there is no evidence that the English referred to themselves as being white people. This concept did not occur until 1613, when the English society first encountered and contrast themselves against the East Indians through their cultural pursuits. That's a nice way of saying colonization, invasion. Even then, there was not a large body of people who considered themselves white as we know the term today. From about the 1550s to the 1600s, white was exclusively used to describe elite English women because of the whiteness of their skin signaled that they were persons of high social class who did not go outside to labor. I guess the sun didn't hit them too much, so their skin stayed pale. That's how they could tell they wasn't out on the field. However, the term white did not refer to elite Englishmen either, because the idea that men did not leave their homes to work could signal that they were lazy, sick, or unproductive. Initially, the racial identity of white referred only to Anglo-Saxon people and has changed due to time and geography, right? As the concept of being white evolved, the number of people considered white would grow as people wanted to push back against the increasing numbers of people of color due to emancipation and immigration. Activist Paul Kibble says whiteness is a constantly shifting boundary separating those who are entitled to have certain privileges from those who exploitation and vulnerability to violence is justified by their not being white. So Houston, we have a problem. We have a big problem. So European colonists used the word white to refer to people who look like themselves, grew to become entangled with the word race and slave in the American colonies in the mid-1660s. These elites created races of savages, Indians, subhuman, Africans, and white men. The social inventions succeeded in uniting the white colonists, disposing and marginalizing Native people, and permanently enslaving most African-descended people for generations. Tri-centuries. Tragically, American culture from the very beginning developed around the ideas of race and racism. The race of the white has evolved throughout, or evolved since history too. It originally refers to only Anglo-Saxon people who belong to a category of white would expand as people wanted to push back against increasing numbers of people of color due to emancipation and immigration. So they expanded, as long as you had that skin tone, right? They expanded the category of white people, united. Expand is another word to say they're united, because they're expanding the categories. They're letting different people in the club, right, to join up against the people who don't look like them. So I'm saying this to say, hey, this is still happening right now. This attitude, this theory, this behavior, we still see it. The historical evolution of race and racism in colonial and early America, fueled by enlightenment ideas of natural rights of man, spurred by the passion of religious freedom in search of property and escaping persecution, European colonists came north to America in search of a place to create, came to North America in search of a place to create a new society. That's a noble idea, ain't it? The ideas of enlightenment spread to the North American colonies and formed the basis of their democracy, as well as the most brutal kind of servitude, chattel slavery. That's black man as property. In the world before the 1500s, the notion of a hierarchy was a common principle. Every person belonged to a hierarchy structure in some way. People, children of parents, parishioners, to churches, laborers, to landowners, etc. Right. Okay. As the ideas of natural rights of man became more prevalent through the 18th century, the concept of equality becomes a standard stream of thought. By categorizing humans by race, a new hierarchy was invented based on what many considered science. That's a pseudoscience, right? False science. Race, they say, is the child of racism, not the father. That makes a lot of sense. Within the decades of the 1600s, the first Africans were captured and brought to the American colonies as enslaved labor colonies had made enslavement legal. The other information say black people were here before Columbus, and those people were enslaved and exterminated and attacked also. This document is not saying that. You don't refer to black people already being in America. But I'm going to keep going into this article. At this time, the colonial America enslaved Africans were just one source of labor. The English settlers used European indentured servants and enslaved indigenous people as other forms of coerced labor. These groups of enslaved and enforced labor often worked side by side and co-mingled socially. The notion of enslavement changed throughout the 1600s. In this early period, enslavement was not an automatic condition and did not, nor did it uniformly apply to all African and African descended people. Very important, being enslaved was not necessarily a permanent lifetime status. But how do you get centuries of it? The boundaries between groups were more fluid but began to shift over the next few decades to make strict distinctions, which eventually became law. In the late 1600s, as the survival of European immigrants increased, there were more demands for land and labor. Instead, labor needed to procure, to gain wealth, right? Indentured servitude lost its attractiveness as it became economically less profitable to utilize servants of European descent. White settlers began to turn to slavery as a primary source of forced labor in many of the colonies. African people were seen as a more desirable slaves because they brought advanced farming skills. They brought advanced farming skills, carpentry and bricklaying skills, as well as metal and leather working skills, right? African people were seen as more desirable slaves because they brought advanced farming skills, carpentry and bricklaying skills, as well as metal and leather working skills. Characteristics of Africans in the early period of colonial America were mostly positive, and the colonists saw their future as dependent on this source of labor. Wow. Now, from provocative thought, not exactly an uneducated, ignorant collection of people, but actually a collection of knowledgeable and skilled people who would contribute to the improvement of the quality of life of the white supremacist colonists with while existing in total degradation. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Sorry about that.
Hey, hello? What's up, Carlton? How you doing?
What's up, Kenny?
Yeah, well, you just said that's the reason why they don't want to teach African history or African American history in the school, or the period, or the slavery era, because they don't want the world to know how important we were to the civilization, not only to America, but to the civilization of the world.
Right.
Remember, America wasn't the only one that enslaved us. The Europe, the England enslaved us. The Arabs enslaved us. So a little bit of everybody, the Dutch, a little bit of everybody had their hands in the cookie jar, as as one would say.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to expose. Let me put it this way. If you commit a crime, Carlton, do you want people to know the crime that you committed?
Hell to the no.
They don't want the world to, I mean, everybody knows, but they don't want to make it so obvious, hey, we did this. you know, we did this. This is the reason why we are a world power. Well, was a world, but it's still a world power because China. Even China now is like raping Africa. China's raping Northern Africa. And the British are still in Southern Africa. So they might not have the level of apartheid they had back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and the 30s, in the 19th and 20th century, but they're still there.
Right.
So,
the system is still in place.
Right, right, right. It's just that it's blackface now. It's blackface. But,
which is what? Ostensio, right? Ostensio, right?
Yeah.
That's a, they
yeah.
say it is, right? It appears to be so, but it's not necessarily so. What a hell of a game. Man, they pence, man.
This is why I was taught at an early age that the Europeans, the master technology. That's the whole thing about capitalism. They make you believe what's happening, but it's not really so.
Right.
Look at the, that's why I'm a big, big advocate for us having our own. And by the way, you're saying, you know, they don't want African history or African American history taught in the school, in the public school system. I want to know, what do the black superintendents and the black teachers and the black principals feel about this?
Which ones? The tap dancing? Are they tap dancing?
Yeah, they're not even tap dancing, man. They just like delivering the white man's agenda, white supremacy. Really? You know, that's why I'm a big advocate of having our own schools, have our own teachers that are Afrocentric. Have an Afrocentric
right.
curriculum attached to the Afrocentric curriculum, the STEM curriculum, you know, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. We need more. I mean, other cultures are moving way ahead, and now we still got to catch up to the STEM curriculum. Like, if you go to these predominantly white schools or these predominantly white areas, that have been, even with predominantly white areas in the urban areas, their whole curriculum is different from the curriculum in the black neighborhoods or the black neighborhoods that are left.
Right.
So these educators really got to take a hard look at themselves. We have a lot of black teachers in this country. You know, we have. Matter of fact, there was a question on my show on Black Urban America that come on every Tuesday at 8 o'clock p.m. You know, there was a question on my show last Tuesday. Can a white female teacher, boy, gotta be a black man? And how to survive in this society.
Who said that she could?
I mean, they might could teach them how to read and write and what have you, but it's a difference seeing someone at that blackboard now, it's a whiteboard now, seeing someone at that board that look like you, that is teaching truth to you. From an Afrocentric model,
not just look like you, who have the same experiences you had.
Exactly. On point.
To know, that is to know. Yeah. That's a difference. That person knows to know through this. They know that through their senses, through their experience, through the life experiences. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you know, the white teacher could never know it. The way we would know it. She can acknowledge it, but she can never know it.
Right. She can acknowledge it, but she'll never know. And right. come to find out, 72% of teachers that teach in our neighborhoods are white females. Oh, I said, what? It can't be. That number's wrong. I don't know. But, yeah, probably so. Because look at the curriculum that's taught in our schools, like Baltimore, Philadelphia, Atlanta. I mean, come on. Parts of L.A., Chicago, you know, Milwaukee, you know, so, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they if they do have an African-American history course in these schools and everything, they're not going to teach it appropriately. You know, George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington. Man, there's more people than that. We had these inventors all through American history. Heroes all right. through American history. Like you said before you took the call, we are a big part, matter of fact. We are a majority part of American civilization.
Right. So it's a reason why it's a reason why they left that out. You know what I'm saying? Like how could you have a book about a history of the United States and slavery just not right alongside of it? You know what I'm saying? An oppression not right alongside of it. How you had that? Because you trying to hide your crimes. You know what I'm saying? Like you said. You're trying to hide, whitewash, you know, history.
Right.
Tell the truth. Get over with it. Take your medicine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Basically, ain't nothing going to happen to you anyway because you
That's
control
right.
every system
right.
in this country.
Right. Ain't nothing going to happen. Right.
Yeah. So, come on, just tell how you did it. You know, for real, how you did it. And be done with it. Let our kids know, let our youth and young people know how important the race that they're part of, how important you are to this civilization. Your ancestors built this civilization, and
That's right.
not only built it, died for it too. Let's not forget, we died for this country in more ways than one. I'm not talking about this fighting in wars.
I mentioned Crispus Attucks. They make that sound like this guy was a free black guy, but they was calling him a mulatto, which is an insult, man.
Yeah, mulatto is an insult.
That's
yeah.
an insult. I don't care if it was viewed as an insult back then or not. It is an insult. You can't relate to a man as a beast of burden, a mulatto. What the hell are you talking yeah. about? So he had the appearance to be free and equal, but they didn't even relate to him that way. And if they did that with him, would you think that's not happening with us?
Hell, Cotton, you know. We ain't free today. We may not have the physical chains. We sure have the emotional and mental chains to slavery. And our people are really hurting and we really suffering from post-traumatic slave syndrome. We our families are suffering. Our communities are suffering, man. You know, with this violence. And the destruction of the family, what we know was to be a productive family, is being destroyed, you know, and now it's being destroyed by us, you know, because we know the solution, but we're scared to practice the solution. We're scared to go out there, like for example. You know, when they so-called freed the slaves and everything, there were slaves that were scared to step off the plantation, because that's all they knew.
Right.
Well, let's bring that up today. We know the solution. We know the answer to freedom, but we're scared to step out there. And there are certain parts of our population, the politicians, that black politicians, that are saying, hey, stay where you are. Stay where you are. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. You know, enjoy the dream. The American the so-called American dream.
Continue the party and bullshit, huh?
Yes, right.
Enjoy yourself. Get party, and be American.
Biggie Small said one of his records, party and bullshit. And bullshit. You know, so that, you know, of course, that's the status of our existence today. You know, truth to be told, you know, it's not like we don't know what to do. Marcus Garvey pulled out coat a long time ago. Separate and have your own. Get away from their system that does not include you. Like you said in the beginning of the show, the Constitution was not for us. We was considered animals and cattle. That's what say in their books. When we came over this country, when they brought us over here, we were considered as cargo and chattel, and that's the word they use in most of the early American history books. You know, so we and ever since Marcus Garvey, there've been different scholars, and different advocates saying, "Hey, man, you know, to stop it." Start getting involved in their business. You know,
do you, right?
do you. They still don't consider you a citizen. I mean, if we were citizens, I say this all the time, ask this question all the time. If we were citizens, right, why do we need a civil rights bill? Why do we need a Voting Rights Act?
Right. A lynching. Why are they trying to pass a lynching law?
Right.
Like, yo, is something wrong with this picture?
But we fall into the trap, and we see our problems. We listen to the wrong people instead of looking at it clearly for ourselves. As a matter of fact, it's simple. It's not like we don't have the resources. I was listening. Ooh, I was listening to a tape the other day, and I forgot who said it, but he said, the white man spends his money with his own people, but the black man spends his money with everybody else except his own people.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing.
As soon as you get it, it's gone. Not to nobody looks like you most of the time. What did they say? Present in the community one time? Is it one or none? Did we just say?
No, it only stays 6 hours.
6 hours.
It's only stay. The Jewish community stays for 30 days. The Asian community stays for 15 days before it leaves. But in the black community, matter of fact, the Latino community stays like for 10 days. You know, a place like Spanish Harlem. And you see, they're not gentrifying Spanish Harlem. Either Latino money stays in the community for a long time. But in the black community, it stays for 6 hours.
6 hours, that's enough time to go home, shower, eat.
It's spent before we get the money out the bank.
All right. It's gone.
It's gone. And I got to say, I say in the past, 10, 15, I talk about me now. You know, I try. In the past decade, I put my money in a black person's hands. The only time I don't is when I go to the grocery store. Because there are no black-owned supermarkets down around. That never been around. There's no black-owned supermarkets.
Atlanta?
There's no black-owned supermarkets. Everybody go to Walmart or Kroger's.
The shop?
Or Whole Foods. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the new wave. One-stop shop.
They might got these little food marks, but they're owned by the Indians. From India. Gas stations owned by the Indians from India and Pakistan. We own little clothing stores and whatnot, but not no big chain clothing stores. You know.
No collective economics.
No collective economics. Like I said, man, at collective economics at Kwanzaa, was that the third principle? Is that the third principle? Yeah.
It's one of
the
them.
Third principle. Yeah. Hey, like I said, we know the solutions. It's not like we do. This is not the full, matter of fact, it's not like this is the beginning of the 20th century. You know, where most people, well, most blacks didn't know the solutions, but we know the solutions now in the 21st century. We know it. It's been told to us. It's been taught to us. We recite it, but we don't practice it. I try to. I practice at least 97%, I say about 95% of my money go to black business. Look at women. Take this for example. Look at women. When they get their nails done. Now, you had a show on this about a month and a half ago. Where have women get their nails done?
And they won't stop no matter what. Done. No matter how bad they cheated. No matter what happens, they won't stop for a minute.
Instead of going to it's not like they can't get their nails done from a sister, because there are nail salons that are owned by black women. I have a black lawyer, I have a black accountant, I have a black barber. You know, everything I do is black.
Hey, Kenny, we come from a people who are skilled. So why can't they do their own nails? What is the problem here?
I don't know. I think
I remember the girls used to get their hair done in the house. This, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Now you can't do your own hair all of a sudden. You don't do it. You can't work. You can't do anything.
We have a piece of work, and I guess we have to do more educating. And that and goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, our schools need to be more of an Afrocentric curriculum, and we need to own our own school. I mean, they're beginning now, and it's going to be a long process, but we need more of it. We need more of it, you know, and black parents, these parents, they just stop believing in that process. We're so scared to do business with each other. We still are afraid, and that comes from, and that's that mental chain of slavery. You know, we still say, hey, I'm not going to do business with that end.
You know, we talked about this here, Kenny. Oh, we saw some people, we talked about some of the black people they had working in homes. They came there and they half-assed the job. You understand what I'm saying? So they said, I try to support the black people. You know, I had to tell me, hey, look, she know a white dude that they do their job. They come in, but they do what they're supposed to do, and they follow up when they work. So to the brothers out and sisters is out there, if you're offering a service to somebody, number one, you got to provide a good service, right? And you have to follow up on your work. Don't be afraid to follow up. Mistakes do happen. That doesn't make you a poor craftsman because something went wrong. Just go back and follow up and fix it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Not wrong with
stand,
that, but
stand behind your work. People will respect you when you come back. How was that call back just to see how that was, how the job was holding up. If you have any problems, give me a call. They will respect that.
That's good customer service. That's good customer service. But hold up now. White folks ain't all of that good either now.
I'm just saying that's why they don't do some black people. That's why some people say they're messing with somebody. They tried it with a lot of black people and they got a little. No, don't get this. You know, the color don't make you a good craftsman. A shyster is a shyster no matter what color he is. Asian, black, white, Indian. That don't have nothing to do with it. But I'm just saying sometimes people get the thing, well, I'm going to go to the person, right, who I see is doing what I want them to do. That's what I'm saying. So that's what they're saying. If that person happened to be white, I'm going to use him because he's reliable. He do a good job and he come back.
There are excellent black electricians. There are excellent black carpenters. There are excellent black plumbers and everything. But we are conditioned to believe that we are incompetent in everything that we do. Even when we hire on a job, that's why I said we need our own businesses. Even when we hire on a job, they keep one eye on us. If a mistake happens, the finger is pointed at you automatically, and it takes a long time for you to earn their trust. How about you got to earn your trust from me?
But you ain't in power,
no
bro.
Way
not in power. You got to earn the trust of the person who's in power. That's how that works.
Yeah. And so that's why I say, you know, this whole thing, like I said, we know the solution. We need to have our own in everything. And look at even the health care system. We need our own hospital. You need to tell me.
Yeah,
we need
our own.
That's
what you mean. Our own everything, right? That's what you
everything
mean.
Everything from A to Z. Farms. You know what? You know, the black. I read an article about a few months ago. The black farmers are suffering. There's no way, most black folks here, there's no way the black farmers should be suffering. Why? Because we don't own a grocery store. They got to do the mom and pop farmers market near the farms.
Oh, because they don't have mass transportation.
And we got black truckers. It's not like we have a lot of black truckers in this country.
But they need to connect the dots.
They're all working for people that don't look like us. They have contracts with people that look like us. How come we can't start having contracts between each other? And it got to be somebody out there that could build. We have big black billionaires now. Why they can't just build a chain of grocery stores across this country, man? Don't you know?
How many black billionaires have? How many?
What?
Three?
What, black billionaires? We got more than that.
Oh, I thought you said three. Oh, okay. I thought you said three. You said plenty.
Oh, we got more than that. We got many.
You said plenty.
But,
you know what someone said? This is somebody said to me why they don't help out. They said that they believe it's some unwritten mandate that they do whatever they want to do except help our people.
Well, they're in the Good Boys Club now. They really don't have the time, you know, and they don't know who to trust either. And guess what? They got to have some white hands in it too, and it can't be doing something like something of that magnitude. You know, white folks' hands going to be in it, whether it be permits or whatever. The average traveler of a black family that go food shopping is 30 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes. The average traveler. That's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous. We need more markets, supermarkets in our stores. I mean, in our community.
Our neighborhoods, right.
Yeah, our neighborhoods, man.
Well, we need to start doing for self. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. And start anywhere. I don't care where we start. Start anywhere. You know, let's get it started.
It could be a small group. It could be individual. But we got to start somewhere. Right. We got to start somewhere. I think from the eye test, and I use that culture term all the time, from the eye test, you know, I think we are starting to move in the right direction. There are people across this country, they're starting their own schools.
That's right. You're right. The young boy, 21-year-old, started a school. Then you Umar.
Well, Umar's having problems, but he's been working on this for 10 years.
I heard he got the money that he was asking for.
Okay, cool. You got there's this cat in New York, in Brooklyn. He started with a trailer. And now, he started with a trailer, and now he's getting ready to purchase a building. And so we're moving it the way. It's a slow process. It's a slow process, but we're moving in the right direction. You know, like I said, you know, there are groups now. They're starting to buy property. But you know the thing, how they gonna flip it? You know, how they gonna rent to others? You know, are they gonna rent to anyone, or they gonna specifically rent? I mean, there's laws just can't discriminate. But are they gonna put in a black, make sure that people, you know, have affordable housing or what have you? So. We're starting to go down that road, but it's going to take a hell of a push for the population to believe in their own selves.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Colin, I'm going to get off the line and let you continue the show, man.
Yeah, we're about to end. We got 6 more minutes, roughly. And I'm gonna have to skip a whole. I got a whole. It's a whole bunch. I can't cover everything. But people, do your own research. I always encourage everybody, do your own research, please. Yeah.
With this social media, like I said, we listen to the wrong people. Between the traditional media and the social media, some people say the right thing and everything, but. Okay, I learned this term while living in Philly, armchair revolutionaries.
Okay.
You talk a good game, now you type a good game, but what are you actually doing out there?
Right.
Are you supporting your own? Are you supporting black businesses? Are you part of a group? Do you go to school board meetings? Are you helping out in your community? Everybody say, oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. Yeah, really? What are you doing? And you telling everybody what they got to do, but what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you trying to help that sister to stay on the straight and narrow? Are you trying to help that young brother not to become involved in a gang? Are you trying to help this homeless individual to get services so you don't have to be sleeping on the streets? What are you doing? Are you, with the money you got, you making a good, are you trying to buy property, you know? Are you trying, what are you doing? Armchair revolutionary, talk a lot of crap, and like James Brown said, talk aloud, ain't saying nothing. Typing loud, and ain't writing nothing.
Right. Okay. I just want to say one thing before I go off the air. I want everybody to check out, I'm going to have time to go over this fact check. MSNBC claims GOP is working to ban teaching history of slavery. It said that they aren't. So you got to check that out. That's an article I think everybody should read in regards to the topic of the day. And as for black people, you shouldn't be depending on other people to educate you about you. Yeah, that's our job to do that. Always has been our job. So with that being said, all right, Kent. Oh, thanks for calling in. So with that being said, I wanna thank Mr. Jones for calling in. We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, all our callers and listeners. And I want to encourage everyone to please, like I said before, do your own research. Check that article. I didn't get a chance to go over some of the things they were talking about in that particular article, but it's very important. So everybody, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. Learn, baby, learn. Peace. Stop the violence. We got to turn this thing around. We have to turn it around. We can't look for people outside of us to turn our condition around. That's our job. Those are our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, our loved ones that are perpetrators and victims to things that are happening in our community, regardless of who facilitates what. We must respond in a way that helps us survive this catastrophe. Until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the Fort from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process.
There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.